Welcome to Bible Truths. Today's lesson is titled, You Can Understand. That is the Bible. Our text today is from Ephesians chapter 5, verses 10 through 17. I'd like to introduce our subject by reading verse 17. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Well, why this subject? Well, some folks don't think we can understand the Bible because they think it's too complicated or perhaps too deep. Others put too much of a focus on hearing the thoughts of men instead of what the Bible teaches. And if we look at what some of the trends are today, it seems like the trend today is for people to read the works of men. And what you get with works of men is opinions of men. They're not perfect, as contrasted with the Word of God says about itself. Like you might read Psalm chapter 19, which talks about the preciousness of God's Word. Another thing we need to keep in mind is sometimes folks approach the Bible as a totally different book. Well, in a sense it is, but it needs to be approached like any other book that's important to you. So based on that, let's take a deeper look at this passage, our text, Ephesians 5, verses 10 through 17. First, let's set the context a little bit. The Apostle Paul is writing the church in Ephesus and faithful Christians. The intent of the book is to talk about things like the importance of the church, the preeminence of the church, its place, how important it is. Now, we're not talking about the building. We're talking about the people who become Christians. It also talks about, in Ephesians chapter 4, the place and the importance of unity, that we're supposed to believe the same. In chapter 4, it talks about things like personal unity, as far as our behavior. It talks about doctrinal unity, as far as things that we're supposed to believe the same. It talks about functional unity on how we're supposed to believe this or believe and act the same. So now let's read our text more fully. Verse 10 starting, proving and finding out what is acceptable to the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light, that is God's word. Therefore he says, awake, you who sleep. Arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. See then that you walk circumspectly, in other words, live carefully, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming, in other words, making the most of your time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And notice it said nothing about the Holy Spirit doing it for you, but it says that we need to do it for ourselves. And what I want to focus on here now is Paul is writing Christians, and he's commanding them and instructing them, first of all, to find out what is acceptable to God and to prove it. That's verse 10. And in verse 17, he says that we're expected to understand what the will of the Lord is. How are we to do that? We must decide that we need to want to understand God's word. And as far as our text, it suggests a couple of things along that direction. In verse 15 and 16, reading that again. See then that you walk circumspectly or live carefully, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming or making the most of our time because the days are evil. So when it says, see then we walk carefully, not as fools, but as wise, it implies that we can't believe just whatever we want. And it says we're supposed to live carefully, making the most of our time. Well, how are we going to do that? Well, we need to think about our lives. And again, it's not the Holy Spirit doing it for us. And how are we supposed to do that? Well, according to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 10, by what is acceptable to the Lord. not what is acceptable to us, but what's acceptable to God Almighty. And how are we going to do that? Well, in Ephesians chapter 3, which is a couple of chapters prior to our text today, it suggests how we can start doing that. How that by revelation, he made known to me the mystery, as I have briefly written already, by which when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 13 and verse 15 adds this, till I come, give attention to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Meditate on these things, give yourself entirely to them, that your progress may be evident to all. It suggests a commitment to do what God says here. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15 adds this, be diligent, the King James Version says, study to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. It suggests that we need to give a decent amount of time to studying God's word and to see what God wants. Again, Ephesians 5:10 says, proving or finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. So why should we commit? Well, the scripture suggests in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Now, in our last lesson, we talked about being given to reading, and we talked about 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 16, where it says, take heed to yourself and to the doctrine, continue in them, for in doing this, you will save both yourself and those who hear you. First of all, it talks about there's profit in reading the scriptures, and that it connects knowing the scriptures with being saved or having salvation. So we need to be given to reading. Let's summarize what we need to do. We need to make a serious commitment to find out what God wants. And we need to read and study God's word so that we can know what is acceptable to God. Well, what else does God say? Well, in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 15, it says, meditate or think about or reflect on these things. Give yourself entirely to them that your progress may be evident to all. And 1 John chapter 3, verse 10 adds this, whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God. We need to think about these things and even memorize God's word so we can learn to practice them. Well, that being said, let's look at more specific application of what we need to do. What do people do today? Some read by skimming, or they read very little, and therefore they aren't comprehending or really understanding. What do we need to do to make sure that we understand God's word? Well, we need to read like it's an important book, where we understand the immediate context and the extended context. And we need to be reading with the idea, teach others what the scripture says. Then we know we're comprehending. And it's important to ask the question, am I really receiving the message as God intended it? And also, if what we believe, does it harmonize with what the rest of the scripture says? And if it doesn't, then we're not understanding the scripture correctly, because God's word does not contradict itself. And also we might ask the question, am I reading the scriptures with an open heart and mind, not with a closed one with preconceived notions? Which brings us to another passage of Scripture. In Luke chapter 8, verses 11 through 15, it talks about the parable of the soils. In other words, different types of hearts of people. Those that have a good heart and those who have a bad heart. Let's read verses 11 and 15. Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. But the ones that fell on good ground are those who, having heard the word with a noble, that is being fair-minded, and a good heart, keep it, that is the word of God, and bear fruit with patience. We need to have a good and honest heart to really understand God's word the way he intended it. Romans chapter 15, verse 4 suggests something else. It says, for whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we, through the patience and comforts of the scriptures, might have hope. One of the things we need to understand is we need to have some patience when we're reading God's word, as suggested by the last two passages of scripture we read. We need to have patience. Well, why? Because it's a deep book, and we're not always going to understand God's word the first time we read it through. But there are many things that are very easy to understand, and some things that are not so easy to understand. And so therefore, we need to have patience. And so eventually, with time and effort, eventually we'll understand most of what God's word says. What else do we need to think about? Well, in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15, it says, see then that you walk circumspectly. In other words, live carefully, not as fools, but as wise. We need to be wise how we live, in other words. How might we do that? Well, one of the things we need to do, if we're a Christian, or we're interested in knowing God's word, is to pray. In James chapter 1, verse 5, it talks about understanding God's word. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. Now, we're not talking about God giving us new knowledge here. That's not what this passage is speaking about. It's something that's already known. It's applying knowledge that's already known. That's what wisdom is. In other words, we need to read and study God's word. We can't assume that God's just going to give it to us without putting forth the effort. We need to do our part, in other words. Well, what else do we need to understand as far as prayer? Well, in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, it says this, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 7, it adds this, and when you pray, do not use vain repetitions, as the heathens do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. First of all, we need to make our requests known to God. Second of all, we need to make sure we're not just vainly asking something of God over and over and over again. Like some people do, they think because of the many words, they will be heard, as this passage suggests. But in other words, when we pray to God, it needs to be a thoughtful one. We need to realize who we're addressing. We need to be thinking about what we're saying. We're addressing God Almighty. We're not addressing a celestial Santa Claus or the old man in the sky. What else do we need to understand? Well, our text suggests that we need to change. If we're truly a Christian or doing what we're supposed to be doing, we need to be changing our lives. In Ephesians chapter 5, going back to a part of our text, in verses 11 through 14, it says, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light, in other words, by God's word. Therefore, he says, awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, wake up and realize your sins, and Christ will give you light. In other words, through his word. And verse 10 of our text, again, proving or finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5, adds this. Examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you are disqualified? In Ephesians chapter 4, verses 32 through chapter 5 and verse 1 says this, which is right prior to our text. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God in Christ forgave you. Therefore be imitators of God as dear children. This last passage of Scripture says we need to basically have a soft heart, ready to forgive and ready to change. In other words, we need to open our eyes, see our sins, see the need for change, and work on changing our faults. And again, it's not the Holy Spirit doing it for us. It's something that we need to do. We need to decide to do that. We need to want to do that. And 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, adds this. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Again, Scripture is very profitable. And it's for correction. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 5, it's in the context of the Apostle Paul telling us about what a Christian's warfare is. That is not a physical warfare, it's a thought warfare. Let's read the text, verses 3 through 5. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God, for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience to Christ. This passage talks about bringing our thoughts and actions into the obedience of Christ. Well, how might we do that? Well, maybe the best way to explain it is to illustrate it with an example. Like what we talk about and how we talk. In Psalms chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, blessed is a man who walks or lives not in the counsel of the ungodly, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And his law he meditates day and night. Here we have a passage that speaks about a man who delights not in the things the world has to say and the worldly wisdom, but in the wisdom that God offers through his precious word, the Bible. Proverbs chapter 17, verse 27 adds this, he who has knowledge spares his words, and a man of understanding is of a calm spirit. And Proverbs chapter 15, verse 28 adds this, the heart of the righteous studies how to answer. In Colossians chapter 4, verse 6 adds this, let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one. We need to be careful what we say and how we say it. And so if we practice these type of principles that God says in his word, it eventually becomes a habit. However, sometimes we may need the help of someone else. In Galatians chapter 6, verse 1 suggests that, brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, that is a sin, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Sometimes we need help. We don't realize we're doing something wrong. And sometimes if somebody really loves us and cares about us, they're going to speak to us and correct us or try to correct us gently, like we might like to be corrected. We need to think about it from the standpoint, if we're correcting someone else, we need to think about how we might like to be corrected about something. And the idea is we need to be a strong enough person, though, to receive and accept correction. Now, that's not normal for most people today, it seems like. It seems like most people don't want to receive corrections, either from their friends or their family, acquaintances. Strong people can receive instruction. It's a stronger person that does. In fact, in Proverbs chapter 19, verse 20, it says this: "Listen to counsel and receive instruction, that you may be wise in your latter days." We need to train ourselves to learn to take instruction, even if we don't like what people say to us. And going back to our text in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 17, it says, "Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is." He wants us to understand some things that we may have a hard time accepting. It doesn't make any less true, and we need to be willing to accept it. Well, what else do we need to understand? Well, if we have an argument, or when there is an argument, what are we to do? Well, the scripture suggests some things. Just prior to our text in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 6, the emphasis is on behaving and believing the same. In other words, behaving in a spirit of gentleness and believing the same as far as what God says. And God gives us instructions on how to do that. And there's an example of that in 1 Corinthians. Here we have a letter that's written by the Apostle Paul to the church in Corinth. The church is characteristic of those who are fighting among themselves. And they're not believing the same. And the instruction is in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10, is that we're supposed to believe the same and behave the same. And he says this after he discusses various things, where some people are looking to argue with worldly wisdom versus godly wisdom. And he says this in chapter 4, verse 6. "Now these things, brethren, I have figuratively transferred to myself and Apollos for your sakes, that you may learn in us not to think beyond what is written, that none of you may be puffed up on behalf of one against the other." First of all, we need to realize we are to be careful what we believe. We're not to be puffed up about what we believe. We need to consider, for instance, that we could be wrong. And the other thing is, we're not supposed to think beyond what the scriptures teach. Now, in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 13, it adds this: "Hold fast the pattern of sound words, which you have heard from me, in faith and love, which are in Christ Jesus." We're to hold fast the pattern of sound words. In other words, there's a pattern set forth in the New Testament as far as what we believe and how we're supposed to behave. So the solution here is, when we have an argument, is to stick to the scriptures alone as far as what you believe, as far as true or not. Because there's a pattern in the scriptures as far as our faith, what we're supposed to hold to. In Romans 10:17, it says, "Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." If we believe something that's contrary to the scriptures, where is the faith about hearing about it in the scriptures? In other words, we can't believe it to be true if it's not revealed in the scriptures as far as our faith. And that's at least according to what God says. What else do we need to do or have? Well, we need to have patience and endurance. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 36, it says, "For you have need of endurance," that is, to live faithfully according to understanding what God says in his word, "so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise," that is, the promise of salvation. So what's more important than salvation? Well, there's nothing more important than salvation. We want to be right with God. So God is delivering us something that we can believe or hold to or trust for sure. Versus if you read the writings of men, what do you have? You have an opinion, and it's just an opinion. and it's not something you can count on. We have a better chance of understanding what God expects by reading the Word directly instead of reading maybe a commentary about God's Word. So let's conclude this lesson. Let's go back to our text. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 10, it says, proving or finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. We can do that by handling His Word correctly. So we need to find out what God's Word says. Therefore, He says, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And finally, I want to ask you one final question. Are you ready to do what God says so that we can adequately study or understand God's will?